First, Jacob, I'll say thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat with me today.
Of course, man. My pleasure.
Right. First, I'm going to ask, what got you into music?
Oh, man. The first stuff that I really remember, like my dad sang and had a guitar around the house, but the first time I remember saying, I want to do this, was watching Michael Jackson perform it when I was a kid. Of course, like he ran MTV, and then the live videos of him and his brothers were coming out, and I was all about it.
When was the first time you actually got to perform?
I was like in elementary school. So back then, I was kind of like nobody in my family sings like on stage. Like I said, my dad would do it around the house, but nobody did it professionally or anything like that. So I was in school, and it was elementary school like play. I think I was in fourth or fifth grade. I kind of walked up and was like, Mom, I want to be in this play. Because, you know, at that point, that was the only time you could really sing or perform. But I quickly realized I didn't like musical theater as much as I liked being in front of a band.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about what was your big start. Because you was in the TV show Making the Band, which was on MTV. And that basically got you to be part of the band O-Town. But did you try getting into music before that?
Yeah, you know, all of us had different stories. Mine was funny because I didn't intend on trying out for the band. That was like an accident. My friend sent in a tape of me performing, and I got a call back. So I went there with actually a demo tape that I'd just done with my garage band at the time. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll just walk this around and try and meet some people and pass out these CDs. And like, you know, and next thing you know, I get thrown in front of the line and I'm singing and there's cameras around and I get put on to the next phase, and I'm standing there like, the next phase of what? Like, what is this exactly? I had no idea what it was while I was walking into.
I mean, this was a massive show. Making the Band was a huge hit, and then obviously the result was the band O-Town. How did you feel when you became part of that band?
You know, at the time, because I came from the garage band scene, I saw myself in a different light. I really fought against it a lot of the time. And that's like, in retrospect, I wish I would have sat back and just enjoyed what it was, because looking back on it, it was a hell of a lot of fun, and we got to do a lot of really cool shit. Like, it was a lot of fun, but at the time, I took everything too seriously. I didn't really want to be in a boy band, necessarily. I loved performing and doing that as a career, so that was my avenue to do it. And what's funny, dude, is now I don't shy away from boy band at all. I think it's a hilarious part of my past. We all love it, embrace it, and our shows now, you know, we constantly make fun of each other and what we did in the past. And that's kind of part of the nostalgia of the whole thing.
A lot of music that people do remember comes from the debut album, which had quite a few hits that charted worldwide. And what was it like when you were recording that first album?
What an experience, man. It was like a whirlwind. Because looking back, I wish I asked more questions. We have like Chris Lord-Alge mixed songs for us, like one of the biggest names in mixing. And these are names as a kid you just don't know. As an adult, you're like, oh my God, I wish I would have picked his brain a little bit more. And songwriters working with Diane Warren and then Nelly on the second album, and just all the different people we got to meet. Because pop records are made differently, which now I have a lot of love for. You know, in the rock thing, you usually pick one producer, maybe two, and they do the whole album. Where you look at a lot of these pop records and maybe three songs are recorded or produced by the same person. The rest of them, it's all individual. That's where our sounds had a lot of different across the album. There's a lot of different styles, and it really helped hone in on our individuality at the same time. But we got to work with a lot of different people in just those two albums.
Okay, I want to talk about what was one of your some of the early singles, because one of the first songs was Liquid Dreams, and that was a massive hit worldwide, and it charted. It did seem to chart almost everywhere. Was you surprised by the success of that song?
Yeah, I mean, of course. Everybody's surprised at any success, because, you know, at the beginning of the show, they thought it was just going to be a TV show. When the first season wrapped, there was no record deal. There was nothing in place. So we had to practice, and we did that for 6 months and worked on it before Clive signed us. And we really hoped that Clive Davis behind us, that you have a hit, but nothing's guaranteed. So that was really awesome. That was the first time an album had gone number one without having a song had gone number one without an album for sale, thanks to the TV show. So it helped us break some records that are now, you know, every day, because we have a lot of TV shows boosting albums. So it was fun to be a part of, man, but nothing we took for granted and nothing was expected.
Okay, I've got to talk about All or Nothing, because that was that was just, I think, the breakout song. I think that was the song that everyone recalls the band for now. And it's also one of the most covered songs I've seen on the internet as well.
It is. That song is pretty massive for us. And that was, for us, validation, because it was kind of easier to come out of the box with the TV show and have a first song be number one in sales, because we had a lot of TV show fans. But All or Nothing going number one at radio, it held number one for a month in the United States and kicked off some of my favorite artists. That was when it became real, that it wasn't just going to be a one hit, here's our TV show thing, that this was going to be legit. And I thank God for that song. We recorded it in London with Steve Mack, who you guys know did a lot of Westlife stuff. And we just are so blessed to have that as our song.
Okay, so you have mentioned a lot about Steve Mack, and obviously, because he has done a lot of music work. He's wrote lots of songs. He's produced for lots of work. Did you know any of his stuff prior to working with him?
Yeah, we were familiar with Westlife because we had toured overseas so much. And we knew what kind of success they had garnished at that point and what kind of records they were breaking. And we had heard of Steve Mack. And I think it was genius for Clive to go to him. I mean, Clive had a really good relationship with Simon Cowell. And I know he still does. But they were around for the whole start of our TV show and saw how it kind of boosted our sales. And they went to the people that... You know, Simon was in our audition for Clive, actually, because he trusted him that much. He knew that he made Westlife, and it was such a successful band. He wanted his input on us. So he was at Clive Davis's house at our audition, actually. And it's been kind of a small knit circuit, but everybody knew of Steve Mack, and it was cool to see his hit come to the States like it did.
Okay, because following on from that, you had more singles come from the O-Town album, and then you had the second album come out, O2. Do you feel that the success came really quickly?
Of course, yeah. I mean, even more than most people know, because Orlando was like the hub of boy bands and music at the time. So we're walking around with a full crew of like 2 to 3 cameramen and lights filming the TV show. So even before the show aired, we're walking around with crowds of people asking for our autograph. At this point, we had not even recorded a song. The TV show hadn't aired. We're nobodies. And we went from being nobodies at home to flying to Orlando and overnight being followed by cameras and crews of fans that didn't even know why they were fans of us yet. So it definitely was, as quick as it could possibly come.
Okay. So after the second album, O2, at the end of 2003, you did, the band did split. And was that quite a amicable decision, or how did that come round?
Oh, it definitely was. We were all friends, and actually, like, we thought we'd split for a much-needed break of maybe, like, 6 months or so. But it was the time when all the tide was shifting, and the pop thing was going out. The TV show was about to, at that point, needed some change. We were tired of shooting and running 2 jobs, so we needed this break. Like, we're doing 320-plus concerts a year and shooting a TV show almost year-round, so... We took this break. We're like, yeah, we'll take a good 6 months off. And next thing you know, Ashley wanted to act, and people started getting into other projects, and it became a year, it became 2 years, and then before you know it, 10 years later, we finally do our third album.
Did it feel like it had been that long when you did come back together?
It did, in a sense that we had done so much since we had been in O-Town, from Dan getting a graphic design degree. I got a business degree. We've lived in different states. Dan got married, had a family, and we've had like so many changes in our lives. So when we did it, it was weird to be in a room together again, all of us singing and trying to cut a record. At the same time, when we got into our rehearsals, we allotted a lot more time than we needed, because it just kind of came back how we were supposed to do it, who was best at what, you know, what we were supposed to highlight. And the next thing you know, we're playing basketball half rehearsal. So they came back quicker than we thought, but it was definitely weird getting back together and doing this again after 10-year break.
Yeah, because you did come back. The thing was, though, is that you did only come back as a 4-piece. So what happened there? How comes the whole band didn't come back together?
There was always something, whether it was Dan and his child being born. I was then living in Nashville. Ashley was trying to do a solo project at the time, so it never lined up for anybody, all 5 of us, ever. This last one was kind of, because it was the 10-year anniversary, we all kind of felt it was now or never. I mean, now's the time. The fans are asking for it. We've been kind of pumping it for 3 years. They've been asking, and if we're going to do it, now's the time. And Ashley had just started a new part of his career, so he's like, look, it's not the right timing. We finally came to that decision with, do we never do it, or do we do it as four? And I think the fans are grateful that we did it as four, because the shows they've been turning out, the records they've been requesting at radio, the new single, and they've definitely shown their support for it.
Okay, so moving on to the new album, Lines and Circles, how easy or how difficult was it to create a new album after so much time?
The first song was the hardest. We had, you know, had not done anything together. We weren't really sure how O-Town was supposed to sound, because we had a lot of our own ideas, and then we're so different individuals. And then songwriters, we were going through like 100 songs a week. Nothing ever fit, because they kept thinking of ballads, sending us a lot of ballads. And finally, we sat down and had this song called Skydive. And I went in with a buddy and produced it. And the way that it came out, everybody kind of like lifted their heads up, like, I think we found something. I think we found a new sound that's not too far from what people expect, and it's a good bridge. Once we submitted that to the label, they said, we want a whole album, because it was going to be just the one song. And then we got to go in and actually write. And a lot, it was funny, because a lot of the times that we said, you know, I don't know if we should put this song on the album because it doesn't sound like an O-Town song. But me or Eric or Dan or somebody had wrote it, and we're like, look, it came from O-Town, so let's stop, you know, censoring ourselves and saying it's not O-Town because it's not what somebody would have done in the past. Let's put on the music that we love, that really represents the band with like I said, no censorship.
And is it true on this album that you did actually write five of the songs that do feature?
Yeah, five or six of them, yeah.
Do you find the songwriting process quite easy, or do you find it difficult to come up with ideas?
Today I'm having a rough time. It's day to day, man. I'll struggle with a song for 1 or 2 days, and then on the third day, I'll finish two songs. You never know. Our Chasing After You is the new single, and that one was completely written in about 45 minutes. And then we went in for about a day, day and a half, and produced the beat and really kind of honed in on the different transitions of the song. But yeah, some of them come together long, and it's painful, but at the end they're beautiful, and some of them get slapped together and they're some people's favorites. You never know.
And also as well, I know this guy does a lot everywhere, but you also have Ryan Tedder as well actually working on the album.
Yeah, there was a song written by Ryan Tedder on there.
Okay.
I won't lose. That was actually one of the first ones we did also.
Cool. Okay, so obviously that album came out last year, and I assume that you've been touring quite a lot as well, promoting the album and getting it out to the fans.
Yeah, on and off. Our first tour was in Europe. We started in London and then did a Switzerland and some Germany dates, and then brought it back to States, and we've done 3-4 tours now. And then just about to release our first single in the States, Chasing After You. So we're about to gear up and go out again. But we do short runs, because we have Dan with the family. We all live in different states. So we'll go out for like a week or two, and then come home for the same amount of time and kind of bounce back and forth.
Okay, and in terms of, obviously, you're still getting this album out, you're getting the songs out to it, have you already started planning more music afterwards?
I'm constantly writing, and some of it's for O-Town, some of it doesn't quite fit, but I know we want to see this continue. The fans have been very supportive, and if they continue how it has been, we'll be able to make another record for them.
And would you ever like to go back to your roots, like doing the old garage band again?
I have, yeah. I do a lot of that still in San Diego, because that's so popular here. There's not a big pop music scene, but there's a lot of garage bands, that really Arctic Monkeys style, Alt-J style bands that I really dig right now. So I always get to experiment on some other stuff at the same time, and I'll be putting out solo stuff here and there just for fun.
Okay, I've got a couple more questions, Jacob. First I'm going to ask, when you first got into music, what was the one goal that you always said that you wanted to achieve? What was the one thing you said you had to do as a musician?
As a kid, I really wanted to have platinum plaques. And I really wanted to have a Grammy. Those are things I think that you idolize as a kid, because we put so much importance on it. And they are, and I'm not going to knock it, but I've come to grips with where we are in the market. I'm so thankful that I do have platinum plaques, because that was like given out to everybody back 10, 15 years ago, and now it's hard to come by. Feel very blessed for that. And the Grammy, maybe someday. It's still on the list.
Okay, and last question. If you got the chance to work with anyone in music, so if you could choose any singer, any producer, any writer, just anyone, who would you choose and why would you choose that person?
Well, the first person that came to mind was Alex the Kid, another British guy, actually. But what he's been doing with Imagine Dragons is awesome. I love those albums. I really do. I think it's just some great, great music. As a producer, as a songwriting team, I think Bruno Mars' team, I can't remember their name off the top of my head, but his songwriting group continues to put out hits for not just himself, but a lot of people.
And would you like to do something with him as a solo act or something with O-Town?
Ooh, both. Both, man. I mean, Uptown Funk. O-Town Funk you up. Come on. We could have killed that.
Sounds brilliant already.
Yeah, Sia's pretty awesome too. I think every time I hear a Sia song, I fall back in love with her.
I'll tell you what now. If you do collaborate with him, you've got to call your album O-Town Funk You Up.
Absolutely. I'm done. That's it.
Right, Jacob, thank you very, very much. This has been really fun. It's been really great to chat to you. And Joe, what I was actually quite pleasantly surprised when I found out that you guys had got back together. And I actually told some old school friends, who a few of them, they were massive fans of you. And I remember I used to actually do a school radio as well, and All or Nothing was one of the songs that just kept getting requested every day.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for spreading the word about the new stuff, and it was my pleasure taking the time to talk to you, for sure.